Hello, everybody.
Hello.
My name is Commander J. Entrax, and this is the Loose Screws podcast. It is the 29th of May, and the year is, 2023 or 3309. Okay, no, here's, you know what? I'm going to go around the horn. So today, all right, here's the deal. Today I'm joined by Blooming Wind. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Excellent. Chig is here. Hi.
My name is Chig, and I am a commander.
And Anel Haight.
How much have you been drinking?
None whatsoever. I'm going to go first today. This is how bad my day was. It's a holiday here in the States, but I had some work I needed to get done in the morning, and it ended up taking like three quarters of my day. Technical things kept going wrong, and it was the most frustrating garbage. I was like raging out, I needed to like go hit something kind of stuff, which is not very, very rare, untypical for me. But of course, then got enhanced and punctuated by, got to go on a bike ride with my wife and kid, which was awesome.
Big fan.
And very fun. Great day. We are all riding bikes together. She's thrilled. She's jibber-jabbering little seven-year-old talk the whole time. Just tickled pink. Loved it. And then had a couple of errands to run, and I went to go pick up something, a concrete sealer that I'd ordered from Lowe's, and I ordered it from the wrong Lowe's. So I drove to the place and I was like, where's the thing? It said it was here. And the lady scans it and was like, this says it's in a different store, like 25 minutes away. And I timed everything. Yeah. In Cincinnati. Sure. Well, I don't know. There's a bunch of them. The one I had to get to anyway, cause I fucking ordered from the wrong ones. I was just really mad and just threw off my whole schedule for cooking up some chicken later, and anyway, whatever. So I had, it's a weird day, and I don't know, but I'm going to do this podcast thing, and I have absolutely no idea why I talked like that for a little while at the beginning. I did do this past weekend, though. I had a great success of a giant recording session we've been planning for a while, and it was this massive project. This composer, we got together an orchestra and singers, and it was like 31 people, and we're all going to be in this studio. It's a studio that I work at kind of regularly, but we never do sessions of that size. Like, I brought in extra equipment and added 16 more input channels to the studio's typical rack of equipment in order to wire this all up. We hired in extra microphones and stands and cables and snakes and all this stuff. And I told the guy when they first talked to me about it like a month and a half ago, I basically advised against doing it this way. I was like, it's too much. We're going to have phase problems and everything's going to be bleeding into everything else. And it's tough. We don't do sessions of this size. And he really wanted to do it this way. And it's like, okay, well, with all those caveats that I think we're going to have technical issues. And I took Friday to set it up, and we did the thing on Saturday. It was very extreme. But the thing is, everything worked. Huh. And I set it up, and the equipment worked all the first time. I set it up correctly, and it just worked. And we didn't have any microphones like fail on us. And the musicians that the composer hired were all phenomenal. And many of them were just sight reading because we didn't really have time to do rehearsals and things. And even in the beginning of the session, they were like, everybody was going around just asking all these questions, and I'm overhearing all this stuff. Like, I'm totally lost on this section here. Can you explain this to me? And I'm thinking like, oh my God, like, Everyone here is totally lost. And then Downbeat happens and they just play it and it sounds great. And we did like full two takes and then a bunch of other little bits that we can edit in and things like that if need be. And the day happened and was a success. And I truly did not think that was going to happen. So that was my big news.
I think this is a perfect example of, you know, you win some, you lose some. You had that perfect day and then you had today.
And I'm paying for it.
Exactly. Should have known it was coming.
Oh my goodness. Well, so in game news, I was one who had my thumb on the button and got my hands on some pre-release Aegis equipment. And I don't know how much we'll talk about that because that is truly spoilers because it is not meant to be in game yet, but I did get a chance to play around with that last night and see what's what in there. So maybe the guys will want to talk about that a little later. Yeah. That's me. Who wants to go next? Also, I see that Nurgle's just popped in but hasn't made it into eCaster yet. He was having internet trouble, so I have no idea, but Nurgle is trying to be here. Why don't I pass to somebody else, and we'll see what happens. Blooming Wind, what are you up to?
Well, I've been on call for the last 2 weeks, so I've been working two weeks without a day off. The cardiac care unit at one of my hospitals that I work at, and it's fun because we have residents, we have a med student, you know, and so we're saying it wasn't terribly busy, but, you know, just having to get up every day and round at 7 o'clock. And when you're used to getting there about 8 o'clock, 8:30, it's just, I'm getting old. and then last night I was the answering service call person. So that's like when, you know, if you call your doctor in the middle of the night, it's my turn at the other hospital to do that. So I didn't get much sleep last night and I didn't get it on the sofa, but Mrs. Blooming Wind is down in Oxford with our daughter because our daughter's taking a summer semester to get prerequisites out of the way because she declared her major to be accounting and she needed a couple of classes she didn't have. So she's down there for a couple of days. And then my son's off at some pool party or something because he's like cool or something, which apparently I'm not. So hence why I'm here.
Hence the oldness of being here cool on this show. Yeah.
Well, thank
Wait
you.
Wait a minute. Are you saying this isn't cool?
I think it's cool.
I think you're king of nerds.
Well, some level of monarchy. I don't know if it's king, but yeah.
Rad. Maybe
Baron. Oh, and in game, I guess I have to talk about what I did in game. So mostly spending time in HIP 4907 trying to get us to expand out of there, which we'll talk about in the squadron update. And then I was one of the people who was able to go get the pulse wave, the bootleg pulse wave thingy, whatever, anti-Xeno thing. Because I was like, oh my gosh, I can get one. I'm just going to go get it. And so one night I decided to do that. And then the last few nights, now that everything is going the way we want to in BGS, I'm off mining because I find it relaxing. Yeah, I find it relaxing.
All right. You got the bootleg scanner and went mining?
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't have a ship. I have to get all the other things to be able to go into the maelstrom things yet.
Oh, okay. Well, you know you can't get those from mining, right?
No, I know. You go into the maelstrom and get killed a few times and you get stuck.
That's going to be a new bug that comes up. Subsurface mining pops out scanners and caustic sinks and shit.
Aegis accidentally releases the thing on a few stations and he's like, he sees and goes, pulse wave Xeno scanner. Oh, pulse wave. Okay. Yeah. Let's go mining.
I'm not using it on my T10.
He's out there with the pulse wave Xeno scanner. Like, where is my tritium?
Just waiting for a bug to pop out.
It's not pointing at anything.
Just waiting for a bug to pop out of one of these rocks.
This guy.
These guys.
All right. On to like hate or somebody now.
Okay. Hate or somebody now. What you been doing, my man?
I hosted last week's episode and I think it was a roaring success.
Oh yeah. You guys did great. Although I'm going to quiz you a little later, but I don't think you talked about any of the notes I wrote.
Did you write notes?
Oh, yeah.
The guy that opens the notes. I think I opened the notes and then looked and then saw that the BGS wasn't updated. And then, like, put just the teeniest bit in there so I could give myself a pass for having done it, and then just like ignored the rest of the notes.
Yeah, so it's all right because we wouldn't have had anything to talk about today if you had talked about the notes. But so we'll just be a week behind. But I'm not giving you a hard time because it is, even if you do it all the time, it is often confusing and easy to like get mixed up at where you are and not follow the thing in the heat of the moment when you're on a recording. So no worries at all. You guys did a great episode.
I had a blast.
Yeah.
Even that's with great. Teflon, like grilling me there at the beginning because I was yeah. trying not to keep my daughter awake because we've been fighting about it for a while.
What? Talk, other speak caregivers. Up.
Exactly. But I do know that my microphone can pick up moth farts. So, you know. I'm sure my sound mics. Guy loves that.
Yeah,
you know, in game, I had to get the paperwork out of my lakefront beach house on Ross 310-2 and then take it to my office in Kama. And it's taken me like three weeks to do that.
Is that a euphemism for something? Is he trying to tell us he's in trouble?
I haven't played the game at all.
Blink three times.
Yeah, if you're telling us this under duress, please... Tell the moth to fart.
in real life, though, I have moved my computer. I have a desk that a friend bought me off Amazon for $31 and change and free shipping, and they shipped it to my house. And I bought a Switch, a network Switch, not like a Nintendo Switch, a network Switch, and I got it set up and with a 50-foot cable running from my modem to the Switch, and then it's all split up. Plugged into my computer, and my roommate's PlayStation 4 and Xbox are on the other side of the room. And right behind my monitors is a window that I'm going to stick an AC unit into because this room is not plumbed to the central heating or cooling, which is a part of the reason that my son moved out of this room, in addition to the weird sewage smell that occasionally backs up into this room that we have talked about previously.
That's just my fart.
On the show. And on Discord. And unless my shower agitates the moths and causes them to fart, I don't think it's moth farts.
Believe we have a show name already, though. But all right.
Okay. That's great.
Great.
Yeah. Yep. And it's much, much nicer. Now I just have to find a computer chair because I'm sitting in a folding deck chair, not even like a nice camping chair, but a deck chair.
Oh, well, that's not great.
Yeah. Definitely not ergonomic.
Yeah.
But I play the game pads, so I can sit wherever I want.
Another game padder. I don't think I realized how many people I fly with on the regular were game pad users.
I think it's just me, and you're thinking of me in like triplicate.
No, because Audaxius does it.
Yeah.
Blooming Wind, Audaxius does. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Weirdos.
Well, now I don't have anywhere to put a cockpit.
You two. Sorry. Are we sure that's not the show title? Okay. just picturing like a commander. I don't have anywhere to put a cockpit. God, I don't know why that's so funny to me. Anyways, what was going on? I can't remember. I don't remember what was happening. Oh, we were talking about game pads. Sorry, that was terrible. So yeah, game pads and whatnot. Well, you guys, so you two were both previously consolers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I assume that Audaxius must have been too. Although now I realize we've never really talked about it. Oh shoot, I'm being attacked by some people.
Uh oh.
Yeah, I'm gonna waste them with rockets.
I'm on my way to power up a station, or a settlement, or whatever the fuck they're called. Well, should I go? I don't remember what I did the last week and a half or two. It's been 2 weeks. And yeah, good job, Hate, last week. You and Boob and Teflon. Was it just the three of you? if I remember correctly.
I want to give credit to everybody who was there, but I don't remember.
Okay.
I've had an impossibly long week.
You guys did an awesome job, and I hope you continue to do that on weeks that I can't make it and Trax can't make it. That was like, it'd been a long time since either me or Trax or Atai Worsham were on the show.
Episode five.
It's been a while. But yeah, you guys did a great job. I enjoyed the listen. I just wasn't going to be able to make it. My daughter had a band concert. So yeah, there was that. And in game, I don't know, I've gotten out. We've done some, I don't know, Maelstrom stuff. We've done power up stuff. We've done just flying around, killing stuff. I don't know. We've just been doing the stuff. Right now I'm just, because it's, I just find it fun. These stupid power-up missions on the ground are just fun. So I'm going to go do that while we record the show. And that's excellent. All I got.
All right. Well, I still haven't killed these idiots yet. Should probably do that, because now I can't concentrate on what's happening.
Well, hate can take over. Hey, take it.
Wait, hold on. I forgot how to read.
Incoming priority message.
Squadron briefing.
Our very well-spoken doctorate friend, who writes the notes every day, is here. So I'm gonna pass the baton to his in-the-loop hands. And let him go with the squadron orders.
All right. Well, this is the first time I actually heard the squadron update bumper music. So I was actually ready to be cued in. So we just won wars in Tripu and what was the other war? Yenti. And then we're expanding out of HIP 4907. And our target is Myola, which is going to be a lot of fun because there are two zombie player factions and two active player factions that we've contended with in our system. And then we would like to welcome a Asseljet into HIP 4907. Other than that, things are quiet for now in Screw Space, but things could explode at any given time. So thank you to everybody who participates. And just check the standing orders every day if you're looking for something to do.
See.
Stupendous.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Yes, I've been aware of, but not paying attention to, lots and lots of activity in the BGS channel.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's we're gonna all have I can say about it.
Yeah, we're going to have a series of expansions in HIP 4 from HIP 4907. That's why we've been putting a lot of effort into stabilizing that system, because it's right at the top of Screw Space, and so it's a kind of a new frontier that there's a lot of compatible systems that we can jump to from there. So,
can you imagine playing in a sphere instead of a disc?
Well, that's what I've been doing. Three-dimensional thinking. I mean, that's what I've been doing. I just need a graphing program to try to map it. But I can't find a good graphing program to map Screw Space out.
I have multiple monitors, so it's probably easier for me than you. Is I'll like move Inara over to the left monitor out of the way, and have both Discord and Inara up over there, and then I'll have the game running, and then just use the galactic map on my main monitor.
I could do something similar to that.
Or if you have a laptop, which I presume you do, you can have it on your lap doing like squad orders and Inara shit.
Yeah.
You know, with the map up in front of you.
Yeah, well, that's what I do, is the laptop is on my lap and then my desktop computer is right next to my TV set. So, you know, I do kind of have a two-monitor, two-computer setup, I guess. But
very nice. But
it's with a gamepad.
Yeah.
Instead of a cockpit.
In a laptop on your literal lap? Crazy.
Yeah. Usually it's Brick is on my literal lap, but, you know, sometimes I need the laptop.
Sir Brick. All hail Brick.
Yep. He's getting his teeth cleaned. I mean, he may have to have a couple teeth extracted on Thursday. So everybody send Brick out some good thoughts when he goes under anesthesia for on Thursday.
Ask him if they can get him some doggy Xanax to help him out with that.
Yeah. they dope him up. They love him at his vet.
Uh-oh. Yeah. They're mad at me, guys. They're mad.
Are you, where are you? The Revenant.
Oh, God. Yeah, Revenants are angry. Oh, that one popped up right in my face.
Yeah, that's how they get you. All right. So let's see what's been going on in the galaxy. Well, the only thing that's actually new is that on, I guess it might have been Thursday, somebody noticed that the. You know what? No. This isn't time for me to start jumping into dev news. We have a report from Bard. We have a Tinhadium Express report. That's what's going to happen right now. All right. All aboard.
All aboard the Tinhadium Express!
Things have been suspiciously quiet on the Express lately. Let's see how much longer we can keep the peace. Okay, that was fun. I might have to make this quick. May 22nd, presidential campaign targets federal voters. So even though the election might be postponed, it's not too early for attack ads. Shut up. Just shut up. May 23rd, head of Aegis makes public address. It's a State of the Union address, but for a corporation. And on May 25th, materials needed for Titan research project. Well, we have to figure out how to kill it dead somehow, right? Get back, motherfucker.
Is that where it cuts off?
I love it.
Okay. All right. Well, we're into it now. So this is a new what a new fun theme we have. I can't wait to find out what happens next week.
Yeah.
So these are like episodic shorts, right? Isn't that the whole thing that's been going on here?
Yeah.
I love it.
Or it's just done forever and he died right there. That's possible.
Right. Maybe we never hear from him again. I mean, Technically, I've received no messages since he uploaded that. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Could be. So on that note, yes. So there's a CG going on to make deliveries of material, or you know, commodities and things needed to manufacture the pulse wave Xeno scanner is what it's called. This is the thing that's going to let us learn more about the Titan, right? And so I think on Thursday, correct me, maybe, I'm not sure exactly.
It was Thursday.
Somebody noticed that they seemed to be already for sale at some military bases. So some stations in military economies. It wasn't all of them, but AXI put out the alert that I noticed, and then a few of us ran around, as Bloomingwind was saying, a few of us ran around and picked some up. But that is not correct. And by the next morning, there was an announcement from FDev that was a mistake, and they are taking it off of the market, but you can keep it if you already bought it.
Which I found kind of actually surprising. I thought they would just
take it. You thought they'd take it away?
I honestly did.
That is, like, what's the point of that? It's a lot of work. And
also,
I
mean, well, leave it to them to screw it up. You know, screw it up and everyone's Gauss cannons are gone by accident.
Well, to say that it's not that much, I mean, I guess that makes me think you don't really know how much work it would be. I guess we don't really, but it seems to me like just saying, you know, having to reach into go through all the logs and reach into the accounts of everybody who had them.
Yeah, but it would be like one item that you'd need to remove. That would probably be easier from just to search.
Thousands of accounts.
They've removed stuff before.
They have?
What did they remove?
All the stuffs. I have no idea.
I don't think so, man. Yeah, I mean, cite your source, dude. I don't remember them removing anything. They removed stuff that was like from actual cheating.
Well, yeah. And if they can find that, why couldn't they find something like this?
I'm not saying that they couldn't find it. I'm saying it makes no difference. Because
there would be no like checking logs for cheating. It would just be, you know, this is you know, everybody's so sensitive about spoilers, bullshit. No, people getting whiny about, you know, people getting stuff that they couldn't get. I couldn't log on that day, so I didn't get it. Why do these people get to have it? You know, kind of thing. So I thought, yeah. I thought they would actually just pluck it from everybody.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, I mean, I understand what you're, I understand that sentiment. It's only like a few days though.
I mean, yeah,
The thing is, it's not hard to get either. Like, I guess right now there's some scuttlebutt out there that I guess people are not convinced for some reason. So it was available for sale. It costs like less than $900,000.
Yeah.
Just for money. Yeah. And that's apparently not enough to convince some people that it isn't going to be some crazy recipe. We've still got people just like wailing on that CG, like they really want to make sure they're at a certain tier.
But I think you also got free, but I think you got the freebie crowd where you just got people who they want the free one.
They want it anyway. They want the one that costs nothing.
Yeah. But the one that costs nothing shows up as nothing. And so if you have all of these freebies, it drops your rebuy cost.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a couple freebie ships.
Is that a significant? Yeah. I have a couple of freebie ships too. Now a freebie hull though is like a huge amount compared to.
Yeah, an 800. I mean, an 80,000 item,
dozens of millions of credits, in rebuy change, is a big deal. Compared to, I mean, you're talking like the value of. I don't know. Anyway, people can feel how they want to feel, and I don't think it should make them not want to play the CG if they wanted to either. It's where a lot of commanders get together. It's where often some of the most fun gameplay is, even if it's just hauling or bounty hunting. You know, it's more fun hauling and more fun bounty hunting, right? So, anyway, now I'm realizing it probably sounded like I was telling people that they should just not have fun and you should only do things if you absolutely need to in this game. You shouldn't do any extra work.
Like, I mean, there is a utilitarian thing to it. I mean, you know, everyone wants to play their game, you know. And
I didn't mean to sound like that. If it came off like that, then I sincerely apologize. I definitely think you should play your game the way you want to play your game, regardless of whether you know you're just going to be able to buy the thing afterwards for a few credits.
Yeah. But I mean, a few fell off the truck, you know, and so someone's selling a bootleg. I mean,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you what surprised me a little bit is this seemed like it was a prime opportunity for a lore explanation, like, whoops, you know, there was a closed beta test going on that Aegis had going on, and a few commanders, you know, found the parts and are testing it out for us, but that test is over, you'll get it, now we need to finish that manufacturing facility that we talked about, you know. Something to that effect would have been fun, but, you know, that's whatever, that's more work, I guess, so.
That's easier than pulling them from everybody.
It's less work than that. Yeah, just it could have been in a forum post or something. But anyway, so that's the new thing. And then other than that, I just got like stuff that was in the notes that got skipped over because you guys were just having too good a time last week. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about this time. Do you want to talk about the pulse wave thingy?
Sure.
Yeah. Because I've used it. Have you guys used it?
Yes, briefly.
No,
yeah,
I haven't.
So, well, if you care, Chig was just complaining about this, but if you care about the spoilers on this, then don't listen to the next 15 minutes or something. I don't bloody know.
I'm a spoilers guy, so.
Spoilers, yeah. So basically, it functions like. How do I describe it? Well, it sort of has like a dual function. It works like a Xeno scanner, like the one that currently works. But that's not the only thing it puts into your fire groups menu. It also adds a pulse wave scanner to your fire groups menu from the same device. So you got to bind both of them to use both. As a Xeno scanner, it has half the range of the enhanced Xeno scanner. So it will be less useful in combat situations. Than the enhanced one. It's not going to replace that. But the pulse wave thingy, it still does the sort of passive Xeno scan, so you can still sort of like tell what kind of ship is following you or is interdicting you and a few other perks like that. See their shield value and stuff. And you can still do the deep scan, but you do have to get a little closer. But then it does pulse wave, sort of like you're mining. And you got to hold the trigger down. I haven't used the regular pulse wave scanner in so long. I think I've forgotten somewhat, but as I first started using it, I didn't realize at first that you have to hold it down till it sort of, it's almost like it's finishing the Xenoscan animation. Those two lines kind of snap together in the center. But anyway, you do the thing, you wait for it to go all the way through, and then it seems to, it highlights some stuff on the Thargoid Titan. And it makes some of the materials gathering, the things that you're lasering off the surface, easier to find, because you can see them glowing from farther away. But then you also see these other spots, these sort of larger green spots that you can then extract tissue samples from. And I've found six different types of tissue samples on the Titan so far. Well, I should say two types, and there are three grades of each. There's like a crappy one, a normal one, and a deep tissue sample.
Those are the best kind.
They're so deep. And they come from sort of the regular ones seem to come from anywhere around it. Like I've seen them appear on all kinds of different surfaces on it. One time I found four of them all within range of each other, and I sat there and had four research limpets out at a time. And then I was looking around some more, trying to think, like, there must be something different. And I was looking around the great big maw on the front of it where the interceptors come out of. And I didn't see anything down in there. But then eventually I found some on the sort of tips of the tentacles, is where the maw tissue sample locations seem to be. And that was kind of wild, because there grew to be tons of interceptors and several hunters buzzing all around me. And I'm sitting there using my laser to stay at 1% heat while my research limpets work. And multiple times they came up and, like, in my face scanned me and then just floated away. And I thought, I was like, oh, I'm done. Because now the stakes are higher too, because I'm collecting commodities in there, which are corrosive, by the way, too. So you have to bring anti-corrosion racks. So you have to get out. You can't just finish what you're doing, mat gathering, and then explode to get home. You have to actually leave the maelstrom. I think that was the first time, last night was the first time I've actually left the maelstrom intact. Because before, I just, like, I would carry in like 60 limpets and just keep collecting for a long time. And then I was like, well, I'm done with this part of the game, and just exploded myself.
I think I'll die.
But I couldn't do that this time.
You pulled a Borked.
Yeah. I did it on a stream. So actually that replay is available if somebody wanted to see but the end of it was pretty fun because of them getting all in my face like that. I was really thought I was done for a few times.
Nice.
But that's the fun I've had. So I have a few of those. I don't know we don't know what to do with them yet. Probably, once because the module isn't truly available yet, there are no like missions or consequences for them. So I'm assuming we're going to be selling them to the rescue ships, which is what we've been doing with tissue samples up till now. So that'll probably be part of it. And that'll advance some part of the story, et cetera, et cetera. I also noticed while I was there, it seems that the cap for the materials you can gather from the Titan has been increased. Because there's a few of them that were capped at 100, and now they're like 200, and one of them's 300. So I was able to gather a few extras, even though I was full before, previously, I should say. So.
And with the tissue samples, I mean, how long can you stay in the maelstrom and gather? I mean, what kind of ship would I want to bring? Because I know you can only get like size 4 racks unless you have a size 5 rack from the community goal.
Yeah. There was a community goal where you could get a bigger one. Yeah. A bigger resistance.
I got
rack,
a 5 and I got a few 4s, but I'm trying to figure out what ship I'd want to try to optimize, like have an optimal ship.
First, you always want the biggest rack possible. I just want to say that's what I'm a fan of.
That goes without saying, Jake.
I'm really glad you interrupted me with that.
You're welcome. That's what I'm doing.
Got my back the time.
There you go. Yes. Yes. All right.
I mean, my vote is Krite Mark 2.
Anything that can run super cold.
Yeah, and the Krites, both of them, a Python would also work, and it's because of the size 7 power plant. And frankly, the distributor doesn't hurt either. But those being so big, you can engineer them low emissions, and they will sit even thrusting around, like not just sitting still, but as long as you're not boosting, they'll sit under, you know, you can fly around under 20%. So mine's a Mark II. It's got it's to the extent now where you have to have a lot of damn equipment. So you've got your caustic sink. You want a heat sink for emergencies. Let's see, we've got two more. So we got to use our Titan pulse neutralizer, and now you need a scanner. So you need the new pulse wave Xeno scanner. So that's all four of your utility slots. I mean, if you do take a ship that has more, then you're golden, I guess. But I'm using shieldless. You want cargo space, and then I don't know. I've only got room for one module reinforcement, which kind of hurts me if I get an encounter with a glaive on the way to the maelstrom. I can kill it, but it hurts.
And you
I
want
definitely
a human.
Hear some glass cracking because I only have that one module reinforcement. So.
And you want a human module reinforcement, right? Not a Guardian. Because
yes, the only Guardian module that will survive is the Guardian hull reinforcement, and that's because it doesn't have any hit points, so it can't be killed, technically. So you can't bring Guardian stuff in there. So I have 3 AX multi-cannons and a size 2 laser, and I actually have a missile launcher. You could put another multi-cannon there, and it'd be better. But if you're there to gather things, you really don't want to be fighting anything anyway, but it's sort of for emergencies and to battle the interdictions on the way in. Because if it's a glaive, you can't run. You can't get away. You have to kill it.
Yeah,
it's your only choice.
You can get away, but usually not in good shape.
Yeah, it'd be easier. You'd probably have more hull strength left if you killed it.
Yes, there's
if you actually manage to get away from the thing. So basically, I run from interdictions unless it's a glaive, and then I fight it. And then you want to bring the Xeno Limpet controller. The trouble is the repairs that come on that thing are so crappy. Minuscule, and frankly the decon is minuscule on it too, the decontamination limpet. So your caustic sinks hopefully are taking care of that, but having the little bit of decon left at the end works, because I ran out of sinks, and without having to refill it, I was able to use decon limpets on the way out. So let's see, we've got our decon, our Xeno limpet controller. I need a size 5 repair limpet controller, because you want bigger repairs. I'm bringing an AFM. I think I have a size 3 or at least a 2. I'm not sure what size, but you need an AFM because you got to be able to repair your modules. And I have room for one hull reinforcement, I think, and one module reinforcement. And then I've got a size 1 collector limpet because I still need a collector limpet. I guess you don't need, but I wanted to be able to gather materials as well. The research limpet brings back the chunk that it finds, but you know, if you want to do it all, this is the setup. And then I have a large regular rack and then a size 4 resistant rack, because I don't have a size 5 one of those.
Okay, so I can only carry 16.
Yeah, once I got to the 17th sample, I started getting damage. I was like, oh shoot, I miscounted, and I ejected one of them. And then I flew home.
Obviously,
there's different ships to do. I mean, you could do. I don't know. Clipper might be good. Does Clipper have size 7 core modules like the Krites do?
I don't know. I don't fly the Clipper. It's stupid. I was in there in my Cutter, though, which is even more stupid, and ran into trouble pretty damn quick. But I got out alive and flew home and was going to change some stuff up and go back, and then just haven't gotten back there.
I mean, you could try the other way. You could try like a very large ship with a very large shield. Kind of take a different tactic, but you can't silent running that way, you know? So it's tricky.
Exactly. Oh boy.
For sure.
Why did my ship land over there? The fuck? I'm in trouble.
The story of our age.
We're going to dismiss that ship again and recall it when I run farther away.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, dude.
So
it was landing like right in the settlement. So all the things, revenants started shooting it.
Yeah,
and an interceptor.
Classic, Classic cutter move.
Classic flex, cutter flex.
Just landing on the Revenant.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Bro. All right. So anyway, that's the pulse wave Xeno scanner, which is such an awkward way. I thought it would be like an AX pulse wave scanner or something like that. Anyway, the pulse wave Xeno scanner or the Titan, I don't know. Anyway, that's the name, the true name, the pulse wave Xeno scanner. And it'll get released when the CG actually finishes. And I feel it's perfectly reasonable to promise everybody that yes, it will be available for money at the rescue ships, just like the other Xeno scanner, other enhanced Xeno scanner from Aegis. Else from Aegis, because Aegis hasn't released anything. Have they released anything that was a material unlock?
I don't know.
Are the caustic sinks them? Oh, yeah. Shoot.
I know. Oh, in a classic FDEF move, they're going to release these things needing ridiculous mats in order to purchase them.
I don't believe that, because then you're right, they absolutely would have taken them away from us, because that would be ridiculous, like kind of justified rage from the community.
I don't think an open letter would be out of place.
But it would also be a weird mechanism if, you know, we could buy them with credits and then it's an unlock.
But see,
I'm saying.
You bought them because, like, remember, these were the ones that fell off a truck. The new ones, they need all the mats black market in order to build.
Yeah.
Well, unless theirs work a lot better than ours. Ours were previews.
Reverse rage.
Ours are in alpha.
There's going to be rage every which way but loose. I love it. Yes. I'm on board.
All right. Well, in other news, there was some stuff. So there was a patch, and it happened. Yeah, it happened, and it was in the notes, but the podcast was too much fun, so it didn't get talked about last time.
Slackers.
So what is the patch? The patch is 15.01. And it happened, and it was basically a success, and it fixed a bunch of things that were kind of residual things from leftover. Let's see. Let's run down quick. 15 release notes. The release notes are linked in the show notes. I'm clicking on it right now.
They've restarted console development.
Yep. Yeah. Console development is.
Okay.
Also, they implemented a fix. So the caustic sink launcher is back to being engineerable. Rumors of that change being declared a fix turned out to not be true. Scouts are no longer permanently in berserk mode. Back to normal. Propulsion elements can now be dropped by exploded caustic generators. So you don't have to go fight scouts to get those to unlock the caustic sinks. You can do it all within the maelstrom. Selecting a group of fleet carriers in the system map now shows fleet carriers tab of the points of interest panel. So basically, the stacked fleet carriers that clean up the look of the menu, when you clicked on them, you kind of didn't get any information. So sort of no point to doing it. So now it's going to bump you over to the fleet carriers list. Unfortunately, unfixed is all the other things that were broken about the system menu, which remain unbroken, which is to say, once you get over to that point POI menu, most of the things over there, or several of them, can't be successfully routed to. And if you click on them, it won't even carry you over to that section of the map, and they take you to the star instead, and things like that. So a bunch of route plotting, you know, hold here to plot route sort of stuff that used to work doesn't work anymore, and that still needs to get fixed. I was really... thought for sure that was going to be in this patch, but when it wasn't, I found that, well, nevertheless, it still is, in fact, in the issue tracker. So anyway, you can go find it there. Let's see. A fix, inconsistent turret fire from the Titan. So I don't know what was inconsistent about it, but apparently it's better now. Scenarios have been rebalanced in order to improve chances of which the Orthrus or Thargoid probes can be found. So supposedly Thargoid Orthrus spawn rate changed. But nobody cares because we're not fighting them anyway. We're clearing all of the alerts easily with impunity, doing nothing but tissue sampling. So good. Great, great gameplay there, he said, sincerely.
Outstanding.
Yep. Let's see. A crash that could trigger when disembarking at unknown surface sites is fixed, apparently. Excessive heat being generated when commanders are hit by the Maelstrom pushback wave. Mm-hmm. So I still got heat when I went into the Maelstrom yesterday.
Yeah, but not when as I was bad, hit by the wave.
Not as bad. I mean, it still pushed me well over 100. It wasn't up to 300, I guess. Is that what they're saying? Is that counts as a fix?
I guess.
Yeah, good enough. Whatever. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, it works. Works for me.
It works. Address instances where SLF would take excessive damage from glaive missiles. Okay. So apparently SLF can now take a normal amount of damage from glaive missiles. Ship launch fighters would become targeted for containment missiles by the glaive. So the glaive would shoot their FSD reboot missiles at an SLF instead of at your ship. So that was a stupid move, you dumb glaive. So I guess they learned and evolved. Thargoids no longer able to get themselves potentially stuck when investigating canisters. Okay. Cute. And finally, a fix to address large invisible wall at the large ship landing pad at the beach engineer base. So cute. And anyway, note, and then let's see, notable changes to systems in invasion state. When invasion is upon defeat, a notification will be sent to all present commanders. So you get an in-game notification that it's over and the Thargoids will stop appearing and the conflict zones will subsequently dissipate. Interdictions will cease and signal sources caused by Thargoid attacks will come to a stop. The HUD has also received some minor changes, so when you're jumping into an invasion system that has been defeated already, the pre-jump warning will indicate that. And let's see, there's a known issue here. If you re-enter the game after the Scarlet Crate connection error, you will be able to resume gameplay without further connection errors or blockers. What? Okay. Hmm. Verbatim. Anyway, however, the ship with the warrant on it will be impounded. Okay, so this is if you hand yourself in at an on-foot concourse terminal. I guess I should have read the previous paragraph. So if you have a warrant, you hand yourself in at an on-foot terminal. In other words, you are not in a ship. It will cause a Scarlet Crate connection error at the on respawn at the detention facility. So if you gain a bounty on your ship, then you need to hand yourself in while on your ship. And then you'll respawn at the detention facility in your ship. If you do it on foot, I think the solution is probably going to be that you're going to have to use the stuck help button to reset your ship yourself into some place where you can summon your ship to you or something funny like that.
I don't
that,
know. So. To quote Jim Carrey in Liar, Liar, quit breaking the law, asshole, and you won't have that problem.
Yeah, I guess there's that. So anyway, so that was update 15.1. There was another note that was not in the patch notes, but was noticed by commanders. And as reported by the Burr Pit, there was a stealth mission board change. Anarchy factions are now offering smuggling missions. They are ship-based smuggling missions, like take this to this system and deliver it there. It's like an illegal smuggling mission, but completing it will earn you on-foot mats, Elite Dangerous Odyssey mats, which marks the first time, or I don't know, one of the first times. This is new.
One of those stealth patches that BGSers just really want to sink their teeth into, especially for Anarchy factions. Our friends in the Brotherhood of Terramator have had so many problems since, like, one of the real minor BGS changes, like 2.5 years ago. Every one of their systems started crashing, and it was just so hard for them to keep present you know, mm-hmm. let alone try and, you know, move forward.
I thought it was basically Odyssey because Odyssey means that's where you want to go to and punish basically an anarchy faction when you're trying to just murder hobo everything and steal all the materials.
Right.
So you just get constantly commanders are coming in and doing that to your settlements. So yeah, so the idea being that this should hopefully give them a lever to turn the tide on that and get some influence back by being a lure and also allowing them to run them themselves, I guess. Remains to be seen if it's going to have full effect. But it also seems like all they have to do to make sure it has full effect is adjust the influence bonus until it is correct, right?
Yeah.
So
I think it'd be easier just to take scanners and pulse wave things away from people than fixing that, though. Just saying.
You're just not going to let me get away with it.
I'm just trying to interject something to the show because I'm still running from these revenants. This cutter insists on landing back on the settlement each time. I've had to dismiss my ship 3 times now as I've been trying to get off planet.
Oh, that's hilarious.
No, it's not. No, I'm running a fucking marathon because they blew up my SRV.
He's dumbass.
Stupid bastard.
You stupid bastard. Oh, there's still a bunch of scavengers at this site. Oh, I gotta go into space again. Oh, never mind, everybody. See ya. I thought I'd cleared them. Anyway, let's see. What else is going on? Well, so there was Frameshift Live 30. I think that's worth a watch if you guys hadn't seen it. Curtis Griffiths and Robin McGovern came back, both of them. Talked about sound and game design of the new Titan content, and it's pretty fun. So check it out. They also mentioned that the plan for Frameshift Live number 31 is going to be to show a preview of Update 16, and they said they might even have a date for us at that time. That's a maybe.
That's crazy to me that these updates are coming out this fast. I mean,
they didn't say the date's going to be next week. Maybe is 6 months from now, but like it probably won't be.
I was just about to say for Christmas.
But sometimes they don't even let us know that they're actually working on an update. They're already talking about the next update and talking about a tentative release date is like, wow.
That is absolutely correct. Yeah, for sure. I'm excited. I love a preview.
Now, is this the major feature update?
Oh, no. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. That was something they wrote on a graphic to us over a year ago. And then as soon as everybody started talking about it, going, hey, aren't we due for that major feature update? They went, oh, you guys still remember that? And then waved us off. They waved us off till December, and they didn't say it would be coming in December. They said they would tell us something about it sometime this year, which I take as...
But you said it was on a graphic they showed us. Wasn't that the roadmap they showed us?
The roadmap.
It's a pretty lowercase r roadmap.
Well, it was kind of, hotel bar drink napkin doodle roadmap.
Here's the other thing about the roadmap. Nothing else on that roadmap happened. I mean, updates happened, but that roadmap said things about what they were. Like, this one's going to concentrate on performance enhancements. Never happened, ever. So that roadmap's been done with since the day it was no longer being broadcast on stream, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you're saying it was bullshit.
I'm saying it was, if it wasn't just pure bullshit, it
maybe
was
that was a different branch instantly off the trunk forgotten or about something. It. What is that?
It was a different branch.
I understood that reference.
Oh, excellent. Man. Yeah. All right. Excellent. Yeah. I don't know.
Because I was hoping like the elections in the Federation were going to coincide with fixing the power play.
Yeah. Everybody started thinking about it, and that's all the talk that got everybody excited about. Oh, maybe the update's going to be power play. And they went, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Wave them off. Wave them off. They've remembered this thing about the feature update. Yeah. None of that.
Why did
none
we think
happening.
It was power play again would be the feature update? What about things?
Because Okay. No, I can do this.
Okay.
Because around the same time as we all, without any prompting from FDev whatsoever, started remembering that the feature update might happen, they were doing this storyline about Hudson no longer being president anymore soon, and they were going to have an election.
Okay.
It wasn't because they said, feature update coming, also this Hudson stuff's happening. It was purely because we were all speculating.
People just connected dots.
Because we have a memory.
Gotcha.
And we speculated with that memory.
Huh. So, what do you think update 16 is going to have? Any
I'm thoughts? Absolutely not willing to. Update
16. Panther Clipper. Panther Clipper.
Definitely Panther Clipper.
We're going to learn some stuff from the Titan tissue samples, and then we're going to go inside it somehow. We're going to learn how to get inside it and sabotage it. The other thing, you know, the one thing I didn't say about that pulse wave xenoscanner is the launch tubes that glaives come out of along the edge, not the big one in the middle, but the ones along the edge, those glow green, marked right at the by tips, the pulse right? wave. No, that's the tentacles by
that's
the maw.
That's the tentacles. Okay.
So the launch tubes are the ones that are more close to like ship sized. They're not okay, the giant ones. So there's like a bunch of them around the edge. Scouts and glaives come out of them. Those
that
do
thing's
glow
just full
green.
Of orifices. It's crazy.
Exactly. They glow, but there's nothing targetable that you could to get a research limpet onto down there. But they do glow. So that's the only piece of this thing that glows that I can't interact with yet. What'd you say, Hate?
Can't you shoot those with an abrasion blaster?
No. There are things around the launch tubes that you can shoot with abrasion blaster. They're kind of these orange things. That's where you get the membrane something sample, the material that's called a membrane something. They're not on all of them. It's sort of a randomly spawned thing, just like all the other materials on the Titan. But I just mean the whole launch tube itself, like the entire area glows green under the pulse wave scanner, but you can't interact with it still. So there's a bit that hasn't been switched on yet or something, seemingly. Or we haven't learned enough yet from the tissue samples.
Mm.
This is my you know, prediction.
Okay.
That's all I got. Mm.
Well, what about you guys? Any thoughts? Any thoughts? No speculation at all? Nothing?
It's my crickets button.
That's it. Yeah.
I've got no clue.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Panther Clipper then. Yeah. I'm with you.
Took me too long to find the crickets button.
Holy Christ. Now
you're doing the Discord one?
Yeah.
That one's not going to come out in the recording, though, because I'm probably not going to...
I know.
It probably isn't getting recorded by Craig.
Ugh. It's okay.
All right. What's going on? What's going on now, then? Is there something... What else should I be doing? That's all, so now I'm caught up on the notes. What else do you want to talk about?
I've been looking at drones, because Borked and the other guy in Discord talk about drones all the time. Now I'm kind of obsessed. Mm-hmm. So I might drop like a whole bunch of money on a stupid drone, but that there's that. You just wanted something random.
I have a bit of pedantics to talk about.
Bit of pedantics?
Pedantics. Oh, I love those.
I didn't know you could talk about pedantics. Okay. I thought you could be pedantic. So, weird.
Pedant away.
The newest Thargoid. Not the Titan, but the other one.
The Hunter, the Glaive Hunter. Yeah.
Is it a Glaive class hunter, or is it a hunter class glaive?
It's glaive is the type of hunter, and hunter is the class of Thargoid ship.
There we go. Yes.
Yeah.
So as we have scouts, which have four types,
right,
and we have interceptors, which have four types. We have we have hunters, of which we know of one type so far.
In today's Thargoid War report, it hyphenates the Glaive class.
What?
Yeah, that's wrong.
The language seem backwards.
That is typical FDev communication right there. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. Hey, you know what? That's realistic, though. That's the news media being not quite knowledgeable enough to get all of the jargon correct.
I found it entertaining, though, on Reddit. Some people are complaining about the name of the glaive. You know, because glaive is not like the thing from the movie Krull. You know, it's actually a pole arm, and people are getting all bent out of shape about that. And then people started getting more bent out of shape that it didn't have a name, you know, like Hydra Medusa, you know, it was in a Greek mythological creature of some kind,
and just like the scouts.
Yeah, but that's what I'm like. That's where I was, and my brain is like, the scouts. Basically, each one of them is named after what they do. Basically,
wait, yeah, more or less. And so it's only the interceptors that have ever had those mythical beam names,
exactly.
And I guess the Titan, is a little bit like that. Is that that's kind of from the same mythology? I think it is.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's really, really big. So Titan's pretty low-hanging fruit. But I'm one of those people that the whole glaive really kind of chaps my ass a little bit. Because, I mean, I can't believe that in 3390... Well, so the glaive as like this shuriken thing came from the movie Krull. And
it's
you can't
not
tell
that.
Me that
Wait. No. I don't believe that we are... Have I been oblivious to this the entire time? Nobody actually thinks it's named after the thing from that one movie, do they?
Absolutely. It is named after the thing.
Fuck
that one
no,
movie.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
Not.
A glaive is a pole arm.
Yes, it's exactly.
It's like a spear.
And a Medusa.
This thing isn't a spear, it's a throwing spar.
None of these things have to do with the shape of the Thargoid monster. It's
are
not
you saying
that.
It's
glaive
because it's tip
I'm
of the spear?
I'm saying all of the hunters... No, I'm saying all of the hunters are going to have a similar shape, just like all of the interceptors have a similar shape, and it's going to be called glaive, and the next one might be... Maybe they're all going to be different
halberd?
Kinds of pole arms. Maybe they're not. Maybe it's
Ransuer?
Halberd. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's going to be different kinds of weaponry. Like the next one's going to be some specific kind of sword or something.
Nope. You're wrong. They're all going to be named after obscure movie weapons. It's going to be the Batarang.
Absolutely.
It's going to be next.
Oh, my God. It is absolutely, and I am actually sitting in my chair shocked right now. I thought we were all joking. I did not realize for a second that anybody in the world actually thought it was named after that thing in the movie.
Oh, no, the vast majority of people.
It looks like the thing in the movie.
But it doesn't matter. Like, it's so, okay. Well, I don't know. I feel like it is extremely clear that it is not named after the thing in the movie. It has nothing to do with what it looks like.
In the year 3309, Krull has become a cult classic that everybody loves. And some general or space admiral is like, oh, my God. Look at this thing.
I mean, is it Beowulf and required viewing for all like the 10th graders?
It is. In the year 3309.
That's the immersion.
Well, I just don't like, okay, so you looked at Cyclops, Medusa, Basilisk, and Hydra and thought, oh yeah, like because of the shape, that's why they're called that?
Yeah.
No,
Medusa,
no,
the whiskers,
no.
They're the snakes on Medusa's head.
Oh,
see?
For fuck's sake. But that's the third, and on top of all of this.
And it's got one eyeball in the middle of
and Basilisk
it.
Right,
and
really
all
fast.
Of them have one eyeball in the middle of them. All of the interceptors have the same eyeball. But for some reason, they're not all named after famous Cyclopses. That's weird.
There are famous Cyclopses?
Yeah, Polythemus.
I have no idea. The point is, the things you guys are saying is true makes no fucking sense, and I can't believe you think it's real.
I love that this is a thing right now, because I was laughing at people arguing on Reddit about this, like they were out of their minds, and now we're arguing about it like we're out of our minds. It's brilliant. It's good stuff.
Yes. You asked if there's any famous Cyclopses, and I almost said one of our community members' names.
Brick?
Two. There's two now. Two, just some loose screws.
I thought of the other one. Which one haven't I thought of?
Well, so he has one eye.
I don't want to throw that out on the show. It's
doxing somebody's eyeball?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, never mind.
We have a pirate in Discord? What? I'm so confused.
Okay. All right. This is fine.
All right. I didn't know
I was going to open a can of worms.
I am floored by this, that anybody actually thought it was named after that thing in the movie. Oh my God. I'm still thinking about it. That's so weird.
Why would you not think that that's a possibility.
I wouldn't put it past FDev.
That's what I'm saying.
What?
Think about
it. I mean, I wouldn't have named it after the thing in the movie.
There's only one way to I guess all we got to do is wait for the next one to turn up and see if it's named after yet another famous individual kind of throwing weapon. Or if it's named after an actual category of something, which I don't, okay.
No, it's going to be obscure.
Yeah, if it's
movie
a shuriken,
weapons.
I'm right. Is that what you're saying? If it's a shuriken, no, I'm right. And if it's a halberd, you're right.
No, if it's a shuriken,
if it's Excalibur,
I would be
I'm
right because that's a category of weapon. That's not a specific weapon that is a named weapon from a movie IP.
Right, but what I'm saying is if they're going with throwing stars, for lack of a better way of putting it. And they're going,
okay, what's another named throwing? Because I guess what you're saying that if they say
stars, just named
if
weapons.
They say Excalibur, so but you're saying that because of the way it
Vera.
Looks, that's what makes you think it's the movie. So I think Blooming Wind is right here. You're not correct unless the next one is also some named throwing weapon like the fucking Batarang.
Right.
Yeah, I think Batarang will be next, and
you do not.
No, I don't. No, I'm hoping.
What I'm hoping is that FDev is listening to our podcast, and they're like, "Oh shit, we're gonna name them Ransword, Spedum, and Halberd," and then that way,
oh god,
Blooming Wind's wrong, and Trax is right, and all
if
is right.
If we're
with
having
the
world. This conversation, then I guarantee it's been all over Twitter for 3 weeks, and they've already heard the conversation. So
yeah,
wow,
no, they just listened to our
god.
Show and they're taking notes.
You guys, I was completely oblivious to this since the day before the patch and they like released the NDA was lifted and they were like, this is the glaive, you know. I absolutely did not think for a second that it was actually named after that thing from the movie.
I don't know.
And you know what else? You know what else? It's because when they showed us the clip and it was like on the stream and it was as if the, oh no, like what's this found footage? You know, it was that little joke they did and they showed a picture of the glaive and it looks like the thing from the movie. Like I get that it physically looks like that. And everybody said, oh, look, the glaive, you know, it's from this movie. And I was like, haha, and moved on with my life because that's what I thought everybody was doing. Nobody actually thought they were going to name it after a specific thing from a movie. Like, and yeah. It's not even Excalibur that's like part of a literary, historical literary thing or something like that. It's from a specific fucking movie.
That wasn't even that good.
There's that.
Okay, but who cares? Like, it's just bananas that you guys think that. I cannot get over this. Okay, I'm going to be... Oh God! If you're right, I'm gonna be so. I'm gonna have to do a dance or something. This is crazy.
I am literally. It could actually be that. I don't think it's that, but it could. That's the whole problem I have because it's ridiculous. Because yes, they're probably just naming it after. I have no idea, and we don't even know if there's going to be more. I'm assuming there's going to end up being four of them. If this is the hunter class, and this is
definitely.
The glaive, there's going to end up being four if they want any consistency in their game at all.
Just to circle
gives
back
them
around,
runway to ramp 16, the difficulty, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Update 16, you know, on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean. That would be a good one to like not preview to us, right? Like, and then shortly afterwards, people start noticing a new thing and they scan it and it says it's a whatever.
God,
you know,
I hope it's bat shaped.
Oh my God, can you imagine? And the Thargoids have been trolling us, you know, this millions of years old race is like...
They're pulling like, old movies and
they're like, we detected your television transmissions from your 1960s and we've returned to battle you with your own weaponry.
I mean, the Vegans got like the 1936 Olympics, but maybe the Thargoids, you know, got Batman.
Well, let's see. Right? It's 3309. How far would our TV transmissions? I mean, clearly they're not out to Barnard's Loop. Oh, no.
But I don't know. Whatever signal we sent out there, maybe it slipped into one of their little wormholes to witch space, and it could be all over the galaxy.
So,
really.
So that's what Salvation sent. He was trying to kill them with apparently bad movies and TV, and he blasted them from that surface site, and they were like, "We heard you were coming." and we've brought the glaive. We've learned from the humans, and we're going to defeat them with their glaives.
Dude.
And
I just realized something. I think that Revenants are another hunter class, and they're a movie weapon. They're sharks with freaking laser beams on their heads. So they did two movie weapons.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the secret to beating
the Odd Jobs hat from from James Bond. Everybody threw his hat. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the secret for beating glaives is you just need a non-foot gun.
Open your window.
Oh my god.
Strap someone to like one of the access ports.
Yeah.
Pretty friend.
You gotta drop into like the heat vent with a laser pistol. Yeah. I'm gonna irritate you to death. Yeah.
Good stuff. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Famous movie weapons I'm looking at. And oh my god, that's a fun one to look up. Like Ash's chainsaw from Army of Darkness. It doesn't have a name, unfortunately. Oh. Ash's chainsaw.
That would be great. Ash's chainsaw would be the third level. That would be the Medusa level.
Or how about
variant.
That crazy gun from Fifth Element? We've talked about Fifth Element a bunch of times. That crazy gun from there.
The thing that like turns people into goo or something.
The Zorg ZF1. So that's what's coming next. We'll have the glaive and the Zorg ZF1.
And then the Zorg ZF1.
I'm on board with this. This is good stuff.
Okay. All right.
Oh, a Tori Hanzo sword. That would be good too. From Kill Bill. I've got them all now. Yep.
Okay. What else should I do to make this into a proper podcast? So Community Corner, Buckyball is still going on. We're kind of between races right now, I think, but one ought to be starting very soon, I expect. So keep an eye out for that. I think that's kind of the only thing, unless you guys can think of a community thing that you saw that you want to cheer on.
I got nothing.
Okay. Well, Return of the Jedi is 40 years old.
Woo!
And we sort of already talked about that because Return of the Jedi is very close to the same age as me. So that came up a couple of weeks ago, but it was actually yesterday, 40 years ago yesterday as we record.
So. I remember seeing it in the theater when I was like 9 years old. And when Luke, spoiler alert, lights up his lightsaber, he's got the green lightsaber. It was like the coolest freaking thing ever for a 9-year-old. So,
exactly.
It's green. Yeah. Oh my
As God. A youngster, that was my favorite of the three.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, absolutely.
And then later I came Empire. Around and realized that Empire is better as a film, but Jedi is still lots of fun. But yeah, have you seen, by the way, there's a... now that we have access to stuff since Disney bought everything, we have access to a bunch of like deleted scene stuff that gets put onto the Blu-rays and things. But yeah, there's a deleted scene from the beginning of that movie where he's finishing the assembly on that lightsaber and transmitting it to R2-D2 to start the plan, you know? And of course he ignites it all green and it obviously that's why scenes get cut from movies, people. That would have been awful to blow that at that point, you know? It's a terrible thing to put in the movie. And they shoot it, and they produce it, and then they watch it, and they cut the thing because it makes the movie better.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, that thrill when R2 launches a lightsaber, and he lights that for the first time.
You don't even
epic.
Know he has it at that point. Like, imagine if you... this is like... And I'm... Oh, my God. I just realized I'm about to rant about Special Edition, but like... Empire, the special edition of Empire is sort of the worst special edition because of the conversation, the hologram like call that Darth Vader does to the Emperor. They redo it for one thing and put who is it? What's his name? Ian McDermott. Is that who it is?
Yeah.
They put Ian McDermott in it, who wasn't in that movie, and the voice and give him, you know, use his voice and everything instead of the original. And they change all the dialogue to include a bunch of stuff about how Luke Skywalker is Anakin Skywalker's son or Darth Vader's son and all this. And just like I get that now that there's like 9 fucking movies, like most people know it's no longer a spoiler, but that doesn't mean you should stick it in and ruin the movie still should stand on its own. Right. Like why? Like imagine that thought process. What made him go, oh, you know what we should do? We should just like say it.
Yeah. Well, that's why they just should not change movies, you know, any of this special edition stuff. Clean stuff up and stuff, maybe, but don't add dialogue. Don't
visual and audio remaster is fine.
Especially don't add scenes. Good God. I mean, I don't mind director's cuts that come out like the next year where the director wants to show his actual vision and stuff. That's cool, especially if you're a huge fan of the movie. But I hate that shit.
Lord of the Rings, is like the super extended Lord of the Rings stuff, there's a lot in there that really is, it's all still pretty good. It's really brutally long, but if you really want to go through the 4.5 hours of Return of the King, you know, but you can, and there's nothing in there that you're just like, well, this is completely stupid and spoils the film. Like, it's not like shown to you in the wrong order or anything. It's just, is it really that necessary? Yeah. You know, like the original version comes out great. The long one comes out great if you like that it's long, you know.
Yeah.
Those both stand on their own.
Yeah. But they're also, Lord of the Rings are also an adaptation of novels. I mean, Star Wars is
a much longer work, right?
Yeah. And Star Wars is just, you know, George Lucasing. And I think the problem is when he did the special edition, he was like, I'm going to put this in because the prequels are already out. And I guess he wants people to be watching the prequels first, which is an abomination. You watch them second.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, even my kids know that.
If you watch them at all.
There's that.
Well, they have been rehabilitated. I mean.
Here's the thing.
No, you know what, here's the thing.
They're the same. We were just talking about that. They're the same. If people think differently of them now, it's because they were either wrong before or they're wrong now. The movies are the same.
No, everything's relative. The episodes 7, 8, 9 are so fucking bad that the prequels aren't nearly as bad as we thought.
My opinion is that everything is not relative. The movies are still equally as bad as they ever were. And the only thing that can change about you is how wrong or not wrong you are.
When am I ever wrong? Come on.
I'm very wrong.
No, I want to say this. Talking about special edition stuff, director's cuts, the movie The Abyss, James Cameron's movie. I know he hates James Cameron with a passion. But The Abyss, there's a director's cut of that that's like an hour plus longer. Makes that movie... It's a good movie in its original. The director's cut make it almost a different movie and just way, way better.
Mm-hmm. I felt that way actually. Well, now we're on James Cameron. I felt that way about Aliens. The director's cut there is considerably longer. I don't think it hurts the movie. It does like kind of give away a couple of things, but there are things that aren't really spoilers because you're there to watch an alien movie. You know, it's not a surprise that there's aliens down there on the planet.
It's not Citizen Kane.
You do is you get to see sort of what the place was like a little bit beforehand, and there's some extra stuff thrown in various places. It doesn't harm the movie. It does make it quite a bit longer. He did cut that thing to ribbons for the theatrical release, and both versions I think work. But I think that's another good example. And it's James Cameron.
Yeah, it is James Cameron.
So, since we're still on that, Rambo 3, 35 years old.
Yeah. Okay. They talked about that on the show last week.
Did they?
Like,
oh, is this old stuff?
Does anybody care about Rambo 3? I do.
Chig does.
I think.
Also, Finding Nemo.
Yeah. Hey, that is the first of these movies that's younger than me.
20 years old. Pixar doesn't miss.
All right.
So,
I mean, if you watch it 3 times a day for several months, you get pretty burned out on it.
Yep. Yeah. Burned down on it. Yep. That's fair.
That was me 2006.
Do you want to build a snowman? Wait.
All right. What else is going on? Do you want to, what is it? If nobody's here with a proper cheese, then we just say it's Kraft Singles.
Well,
fuck you.
Our sponsor.
Right?
Yeah.
If you don't like it, fuck you.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, all right.
Yeah, have you guys ever done Cojita cheese?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I've eaten it. I don't know if I've done it.
Now, what does he mean by that? And don't answer and move on.
No, I've done a segment on a cheese segment.
It doesn't
It's a very good Mexican cheese. That's good in a lot of stuff. Yeah, I like Cojita cheese. I don't know if we've ever actually had it on the show. Let me check the spreadsheet.
Had it on corn for dinner tonight.
Yeah, it's good stuff. How do I get to my spreadsheet? Somebody help me. need to
know. I don't know. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna run through the ending stuff, and by the time that you'll have found your spreadsheet, and we can do a cheese. The cheese Death will be the very last thing we do, up
or whatever he says.
Yeah, Death Bot loading. So anyway, thanks everybody for watching/listening to the show again. I think this started off really weird, but we got it back by the end, and I'm absolutely floored by the information that I became aware of today. So I hope the listener enjoyed being on that journey with us.
I hope I'll be allowed back.
Oh, everybody's fine. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm utterly shocked. So sincerely shocked. Okay. Anyways.
Update 16, the Batarang episode.
This makes it, you know, I'm floating back to it again. My thoughts are floating back to it again. This makes it exciting, though. Like, I was absolutely sure. I think I'm still absolutely sure that I'm right about this. But, like, oh, God, it's a whole new world out there now that I'm anyway. So, if you like the show, set, you know, tap that little rating thing on whatever you're listening to it on. And, you know, put a like on it if you're watching on YouTube. Just do that. And, you know, more people might like it if you liked it. So do that.
Drop a comment.
And we have a merch.
Talk to us.
Huh?
Drop a comment. Talk to us.
Yeah. We get occasional comments. I try to keep track of those. It doesn't always ring on my phone. So if I've like replied to people 3 days later before, but yeah, by all means, YouTube comments, or there's probably comments on a bunch of different platforms now. And you know what? If you're commenting on the show, if you leave a comment on the show, then you should definitely be in our Discord, which is discord.io/loosescrews. And there's a merch store. You can get, there's t-shirts and all kinds of different things like that, hoodies. We've got some funny designs. We haven't done a new one in a while. Leave a comment for a new t-shirt design or a new whatever kind of design. We put them on drinkware. We put them on apparel, whatever.
Actually, yeah, Chick Chat. Drop in Chick Chat this week.
Yeah.
Ideas for new designs for t-shirts or anything you'd like to see. If you think you got something clever and funny that you'd like to see, give us that. Also, I want to hear your guys' ideas for the names of the other hunters.
Let's do a little go for that stuff, and please include in your message, do you think they actually named it after Glaive from that movie?
Crawl is the name of the movie. Jesus, quit saying that
from the movie. I've never fucking seen it. I have no idea. I don't think I need to respect that. You already said it was a bad movie anyway.
Yeah, it's not good at all.
Okay. So tell me, like, did you really think that? I need a head count. Do you really think that? Do you still think that?
Can we put, because
I assume
polls?
I didn't
remember.
Change their mind. Yeah. Okay. So, and if you, anyway, finally, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/loosescrewsed. We don't pocket any of that. It just goes into the community. We're going to do some kind of fun event, and we're going to have giveaways. Probably we'll just pay for some of our own merch and give it away and stuff like that. But we use it for things that it should be used for in the community. So thanks for your support. And also for, it helps us record the show, obviously. Little bit of expenses that we have there. That's the story. All right. Did you find your cheese spreadsheet?
Yeah, I didn't see Cajita on there anywhere. We had a lot. I could read the whole list if you want to add about an hour to the show.
I don't. Okay. I don't. Thank you, though.
Yeah, you're welcome. Next time.
All right. So is there any more? Have we already described the cheese enough?
Give us some Cajita info, Bloomingland.
Yeah, it's Mexican, crumbly, salty, and really good on corn. And that's what I know about cajita cheese.
Pardon me. I
had it on corn tonight for dinner.
Okay. Awesome. That sounds fantastic. I didn't mean to sound like I was choking, and I tried to mute myself, and then it seemed like I should start talking again, so I unmuted.
See, I know it because, like, one time my wife was making some kind of fish taco thing, and the recipe called for cajita cheese. Couldn't find that shit anywhere, and now I see it all the time. Every time I go to the grocery store, I see it. So it's become rather popular.
Time for
popular.
A fish taco night.
I know, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yes.
I might just do that. I'm, in fact, fish tacos with, what's it called, cajita?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fish tacos with cajita cheese. That's going on my menu this week. All right. Thanks, everybody. And see you next time. Say goodbye.
Deuces.
Bye.